Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and Radiant Light Beings, welcome. You have tuned in to Awakenings, and I am your host or co-pilot, I'd like to say, Michelle. So some of you are new in the chat that are tuning in. I want to just share with you a little bit about what Awakenings is about. Awakenings is a place that features interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, guests, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are either living awake, waking up, and wanting to share this awakened state, not only for themselves and their family, but with others. So there's a real humanistic, humanitarian focus to awakening, that we are in this converging flow. This flow that started around the time of the harmonic convergence, where we're harmonizing. Through this harmonization, we are all coming together to not only remember the truth of who we are, but to celebrate this and to share this. And that, as many of you have heard me talk about, brings in a lot of different forms. New forms are needing to be created, new ways of being, and new forms of expressing these ways of being are needed in the world. And so we come here and have that inside inspiration, if you will. I like to say we're moving from doing things out of perspiration. In other words, as we live more by spirit, if we're spirit-led, then we're being inspired. So our actions are coming from inspiration instead of perhaps struggle of the perspiration, right? So In that note, we get together and talk to people and hear others that have been walking this path for quite a while and listen to what they have to share about their path, their process, their understanding. And it really is about coming together and allowing the vibrational frequency of the collective to be raised and reinforced, and in that, holding that space that we then go back out into the everyday living, refreshed, renewed, re-energized, re-inspired to do that which we need to do, even if it's sometimes things that we don't necessarily want to do. But we remember that we are part of a group of servers. We're in service. We, the light beings, that we are the collective, the star seeds, if you will. There is a DNA decoding that's happening. And so we can track that through various means, intuitively, by cycles, and definitely astrologically. So there is a reason that we are all here. There's a reason that we're all convening. There's a reason that we feel this subtle energy shift when we come together. And that brings me to our amazing guest that we're a fellow traveler and fellow metaphysician and one that has been on the path for quite a while and understands the path is our next guest, Risa DeAngelis. And many of you may know Risa of she has a wonderful website, nightlightnews.com, and I'll actually put that in in the chat. And that's how I came to know of her, is reading for many, many years, 10-plus years, maybe 15 years, reading her website and culling it, because it's one of the few places that I could get really non-distilled information that really is, to me, of a purer sense of what I know from my guides and oversouls and just what I've received from spirit. And it's really important to get, you know, as little diluted info you know, you really want to go closest to source if you can. And that's what Awakenings is really about. In that note, she works in esoteric capacity. I would say Risa is versed in living and practicing esoteric wisdom. She's also an astrologer. That is the tool that she loves to use, and we're going to hear more about that. She works with soul-centered astrology as well as mundane astrology, which some of you may know as regular astrology. So I want to give a really warm welcome to Risa DeAngelis. Hi, Risa.
Hi, Michelle. It's wonderful to speak with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited. Okay, so we're getting in the chat that we had a bit of an echo, but not anymore. Okay, I adjusted the sound. So there's people listening in the chat and also online. And we will get to questions later. And Risa does do personal astrology, which I'm going to put the website down, which you can connect with her on for that there. And it's nightlightnews.com. And you got a lot of hellos. Sylvia saying hi in the chat to you.
Oh, hello, everybody.
And Tammy, and I think Jen, there's somebody that had been asking, and Kat, so everyone is saying hello.
I like to hear all their names. That's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Yeah, it's I get the visual, Risa, because I've got you on the line also, but then I've got the visual of some people writing. So that's part of my Libra energy, having to do both. I don't know.
That's right. Balancing both.
That's right. Now, could you, just for some of our listeners, and then also I'm interested and curious as to how did you first embark upon your path? How did you decide to follow this path?
Michelle, I'd like to make a suggestion first to all of our listeners that everybody have pencil and paper or computer, because I might be using language that most people might not know or they don't understand the definitions of. And so when we have our question period, people can ask questions about what did I mean, what does that word mean, and
brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Told you she's an esoteric teacher. Good. Get your wisdom. And what is, by the way, can we put in the chat the school? I put down your website. But also
there's a school in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
It's the Esoteric and Astrological Studies and Research Institute.
Okay. Esoteric. Say it again. Esoteric Research and Studies.
Esoteric and Astrological.
Okay.
Studies and Research Institute.
Okay.
It's a long title because I wanted people to know everything we did.
Yeah. Oh, I mended long titles. Are you kidding?
My good.
Designer. Because I think that's a new way of being, too. It's not going to be just, a quick, because it has to encompass all that you do so people get, a good sense of that, right?
So they can understand exactly what it is.
Okay. All right. So I'm kind of curious about that, and those people that are perhaps, just awakening or getting guided on a path, perhaps by spirit or their inner knowing, it sometimes helps to know how did somebody connect with the information that we're going to be talking about today and studying today.
Well, first of all, I want to say that each one of us, once we set upon the path, we are seekers, and it takes oftentimes many, many, many lifetimes to find which path we are going to be on, which path resonates with our life purpose. And as I was a young person, I'm a Pisces sun. As a young person, I always felt a little bit different and a little bit misunderstood. I could always sense and feel things. And when I would tell my parents or my teachers, they would look at me as if there was something wrong with me. And maybe many of you have experienced that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So I attempted to do the traditional ways. And as a Pisces, traditional ways don't often work because Pisces work backwards. And each sign works differently. But I attempted to do the traditional ways, and they didn't work. When I look back on my previous years, since I was a young teenager, I see this person constantly seeking. I was raised Catholic, and I did leave that for a while, but I realized how deeply important a religion is for everyone. It forms a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to every single different religious organization, different community, different thought process, different way of life, and I investigated them. So I would go and I would meet people and talk to people in different religious groups until I realized that wasn't correct for me. And I just kept seeking. It was truly a seeking path. And then I had children and I trained as a psychologist. But I noticed that my three children were very different. And I didn't understand, okay, I understand these are three babies, they're 2 years apart, and but they all act differently. They're from the same mother and father. There's something else here that makes them different. And a very close, dear friend of mine introduced me to astrology. I remember when I would nurse my babies, I would read all the psychology texts, so I would try to understand my babies. But it was only until I came to astrology that I understood. I understood, and I had their charts done, and I eventually learned astrology. And then I was able to see my children acting within the context of their astrology chart, which means their life potential. All of a sudden, my parenting changed because I had a new in-depth piece of information. Each child was different. One was a Libra, one was a Capricorn, one was an Aquarian. They each have different tasks and different purposes.
Wow, what a great idea, Risa.
Yeah.
Idea to, I don't know why more people don't do that, but that's a great
idea.
You
know, I'll tell you, because the astrology used to have a chair in universities in Europe, but then as we entered deeper into matter, we went through the Dark Ages, many of those deep esoteric truths had to be done away with so we could enter matter. Now we've entered matter, and now it's time to recapture and renew those deep esoteric truths. And the Aquarian age, which we've just entered, the language of it is astrology. So we're going to recapture it and renew it. And that's why that happened.
Mm-hmm. So we are recapturing it right now.
Yes, yes. It's one of the restoration of the mysteries. That's something that is talked about in the Ageless Wisdom texts, that in the Aquarian age, there will be the restoration of the ancient mysteries. And astrology is the foundation of them.
I got goosebumps when you said that. Now, Risa, I want to share with you, Kat in the chat is saying that that she's heard that astrology is the soul's manual. Do you have any thought to that?
Those are interesting words.
Yeah.
Those are interesting words. I have to think about that.
Okay.
Astrology is the manual of the soul, or the soul's manual.
Maybe blueprint. Could it be a blueprint?
Astrology provides the blueprint of the three different levels of consciousness people have on the planet. And so the soul level is the second level of consciousness.
So maybe we should jump into that. Yeah, the three levels of consciousness.
The first level, if we look at people in our daily lives, there are people who are building the personality. Personality is the physical body, the emotions, and the lower mind. Once we've built the strength of the personality, then the soul is able to use the personality as a vehicle to radiate love. But on the first level of development, each person through many lifetimes are just developing the personality. Then, one lifetime in particular, the personality is complete, and the soul then comes down and says, okay, now I'm going to direct you. That's the second level of development. There's a third level of development of consciousness, and that's a deeply spiritual level of consciousness. So we have three levels. So the astrology chart is actually the chart of the potential of personality development, soul development, and spiritual development.
Now, is there a time where all those are fused?
Yes, there is a time. Okay. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Many people are just moving off of the development of the personality. In esotericism, we call that the mutable cross, which is the cross of experience, and stepping off that cross and climbing the fixed cross, which is the cross of the soul or soul development or soul consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening on the planet is that the next developmental stage for humanity is that a new kingdom is being formed.
Mm.
And the kingdom that's being formed is called the kingdom of the soul. That's happening on the planet right now. And that's why there's so much tumultuousness and change.
Mm.
Humanity will be pushed into that through quite a bit of suffering.
So we're being pushed or birthed into this evolution?
Well, actually pushed and birthed into.
Okay.
Pushed and birthed into.
Okay.
Humanity at this point is unable to learn except through suffering, which is also an act of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's an immense subject, so I don't know if we want to go into that yet.
I think we all have been there.
Yes, we have been.
Right,
we
and can't you there. See it from the mainstream consciousness also, of even the politics? You can see how things had to devolve or get to such a
breakdown.
Breakdown, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
And then there's suffering, and then there's creativity that emerges out of that, which is then the next developmental stage. And we see that astrologically.
Mm-hmm.
We track it astrologically. If you don't mind, I want to go back to, so I learned astrology, and then down the street from where I lived in Hollywood was the Theosophical Society Quest Bookshop, and they had all these extraordinary books that spoke to my seeking of what's the purpose of life.
Mm.
The Theosophical Society was founded by Blavatsky in the late 1800s.
Mm.
So I worked in the Quest Bookshop reading all the theosophical texts called The Secret Doctrine and so forth. And then I came across
mm-hmm.
another text written by Alice Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and I also had friends who were writing new books. This was the mid-70s.
Mm.
And I read a book called The Rainbow Bridge, and it talked about the soul.
Mm.
And that above our head was this five-pointed star.
Yes.
And it was a bridge between spirit and matter. And we could contact the soul. And the soul would contact us and give us light and love and unity. And this was the beginning of my next level of development, which was the esoteric. And so I started to read all of the Alice Bailey books, which were written by a Tibetan, and that was when I said, "This is my lineage, this is my work, this is what vibrates with me."
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the mid-70s, and so I've been doing that, that work. The ancient wisdom teachings were always housed in Tibet, and they were supposed to stay there. Until humanity on the Western level, on the Western humanity, were ready to receive that information. So when humanity was ready to receive the information from the Tibetan monasteries, Blavatsky was sent over to get the first level, and Alice Bailey was given the second level, which are the blue books by the Tibetan. Mm-hmm. And there will be a third level sometime around 2025.
There will. That's why I kept getting from my guide this 2025 is such an important or pivotal time.
That's when Pluto leaves Capricorn and enters Aquarius.
Wow. I can only
that
imagine.
That will be an extraordinary time.
Wow.
Extraordinary time. Yeah.
I can only imagine.
So in the work that I did, I realized that the astrology was the foundation for understanding the Tibetan books. And then eventually I was given astrology columns to do in newspapers. And eventually I opened a school. And that's where we are right now. we have extraordinary students in our school. We have one who is a chiropractor who has also become a medical astrologer, and she is able to work with people who are very ill, understanding it from a medical astrology point of view, and then she would meet with the doctors and they come up with the same information, or she gives them new information.
And that's by looking at the chart.
Yes, studying the chart. But it takes quite a few days to do this, mm-hmm. but I'm just giving you an example of the brilliance that emerges out of this material.
Mm. Now, Risa, has this, based on the Alice Bailey books,
mm-hmm.
which is channeling the Tibetan, right?
The Tibetan is a real live Tibetan who he is the head of a monastery in northern India, and his work was there is something called the hierarchy. The hierarchy are the disciples of Christ, or they're beings who, like you and me, have gone through Earth School, and they have been given certain responsibilities. The Tibetan, they say, was Confucius, who was a very wise man. And, of course, everything I'm speaking of implies reincarnation. But so the Tibetan has gathered much information over his lifetimes, including training by Master Jupiter in astrology. So he was given the task to educate humanity in all of this ancient wisdom information. Mm-hmm. And he wrote through Madame Blavatsky, and then he wrote through Alice Bailey. So she would sit, and he would give her information, and she would write it down. And out of that came 24 books of ancient wisdom information. And he says that he wrote it for those seekers at the beginning of the new century, which is where we are right now, so that we could be prepared and educated enough to greet the Christ when he returns, which he's going to do.
Mm. Boy, it's interesting that this was written so long ago and is so relevant to now. You know, I always say to some of my friends and colleagues, and maybe you maybe feel the same or not, but that for so long we were taught this or read this, and there's this preparation for this time, and we're really here now. I mean, it's really happening.
Yes, the Hopis say we're in the river, and my astrologer, chiropractor, esoteric astrologer, medical astrologer says we're in it. We're in it now. There's no more waiting.
Yeah.
We're in the changes.
Mm. What do you suggest to people to help with the change? Because there's so much happening energetically. There's such an energetic, the frequency of light. Can be rather intense, but, you know, what helps people, do you think, go through these changes?
Knowledge does.
Okay.
Knowledge is the most important thing that helps them, because right now we're in Sagittarius, which is the mind, which is illumined with knowledge, and we're also entering the Aquarian age, which is the age of knowledge. And knowledge helps, and that is one of the reasons that I write so much on my website, because humanity has got to develop a certain level of knowledge so that they can withstand that intensity of light that's going to be coming down and is coming down now. As we build our repository of knowledge, we build the mind, and the mind then moves into what is called the intuitive plane. And once we have the knowledge and the intuition, we have a strength. We also need to contact the soul every day. The soul is that bridge between spirit and matter. And the soul holds strength and love and unity and care and compassion. And when we contact the soul, which is, by the way, within the realm of the mind, then the soul clothes us with a protective light. And so every morning we say a soul invocation, and we visualize it, and we see the light coming down from the soul, And we know that that soul is protecting us through this time of change, and it's also connecting us to the earth and to the heavens, to God. Mm. So then we stand firm in that middle ground. Mm. I can give us the soul invocation at some point if you'd like that.
Yeah. Should we now set the tone?
Great. Let's do it right now. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
you're right.
Idea.
Setting the tone is perfect.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
So how we do this in our meditation is that we see that there's a five-pointed star above our head, and it's golden. And it has a line of light directly to heaven or to God or to the Father. Mm. And then there's a line of light that goes down through our bodies and surrounds us like a triangle. And it anchors into the earth. And we say together, we can say it, I am the soul.
I am the soul.
I am light divine.
I am light divine.
I am love.
I am love.
I am will.
I am will.
I am perfect in my design.
I am perfect in my design.
And that's the end of it.
Oh, I like that.
So what we see is that we have created a two triangles of light. There's an upper triangle and a lower triangle, and they become a six-pointed star.
Mm-hmm.
The lower triangle is the personality, which is our physical body, our emotions, and our lower mind. And the upper triangle is love and will and intelligence. What happens is that the upper triangle, which is the soul, calls and protects the personality so that we're encased in a six-pointed star. And we walk around all day with that thought. Because we have become the soul, we identify with the love and the will and the divine intelligence of the soul. We can then radiate and become a light and radiate that to humanity,
mm.
which humanity deeply needs. Because many of humanity are still in the dark. And the dark is not bad. It's just they just need that little bit of help from someone. And when we radiate the light, people recognize it. They're drawn to it. And then their light is lit. It's quite amazing. We talk about the radiation of goodwill upon humanity by the new group of world servers.
And that's basically what we've come here to do, right?
Right.
To help. Now, Kat in the chat room is asking, is this like the Merkaba?
I knew somebody was going to ask that. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes,
yeah.
You can. Yes, if you I usually see the 6-pointed star as flat, but actually, what she's talking about has dimension. So yes, we stand within that great 6-pointed star.
Yeah. This is why I love when I came to your site, because when I started channeling, I would get this information, the triangle. I've been using this in my classes, and I thought, where in the heck did this come from? And, of course, from the spiritual hierarchy, from the Tibetan, this information, it seems, is fused in some of us. We've got bits and pieces of it. And what do you think of this, Risa, that we're kind of coming together, each of us with our own puzzle piece or pieces?
I think that each one of us, first I want to say this is really important. The Aquarian age, up to the Aquarian age, everybody developed individually.
Okay.
In the Aquarian age, we are to work within groups.
Ah, okay.
And so I want to say that one of the reasons that Tibetan does the second level of material, the Alice Bailey material, is that all the work is done in groups. And so each group has a purpose and function to develop and polish the jewel, which is deep spirituality. So we're all doing it now. We're all coming together and saying, where is my group? What is my work? What is my purpose? And we find our group, and we work in that group, and we help polish the jewel of our work until, because it's one great big diamond, we just have different facets of it. And in the Aquarian age, we are to do this in groups.
Yes. And relaxation Reiki is saying it sounds so fun working in group. Yes, it does seem that before we were all, you know, many of us anyway, were separated. We were on our own. And like you spoke of earlier, Risa, you go to one area and then another group, or another, you kind of bounce around and kind of develop on your own.
Because we're developing our personality as we're seeking. But the soul is group-oriented.
Mm.
And so once you've become the soul, oriented person, you must find your group because the soul then works through the group. And also there's a greater reason. There is a great fire of light coming down from Shambhala, where the will of God is known. Those are esoteric pieces of information. And so the group together can be strong and work with this fire, but individually it can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to bring, and we talked about this a minute ago, that intensification of light. You know, it's wonderful, but it lights everything, and there's a lot more energy, a lot more love. But it is also something that we're having, it seems, to adjust to.
Yes, we do have to adjust to it. We called it the Shambhala Force. That was the esoteric information. The Shambhala Force came down in 2000. It was a great amount of light that came down. Now, understand, light contains information.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aquarian Age is the age of knowledge. So we had to put the two together. And so there is an intensification of light on the planet. We are moving up into a greater amount of light. But I want to also say, what is on the other side of light? The forces of materialism and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is great light, there is an equal amount of darkness.
So
because our planet lives within a continuum of dark light, it's a balanced polarity. It's polarity.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's light, there's dark. And so many of us, when we begin to understand this material, we begin to make choices. Which side are we on? And standing on the side of the light helps strengthen the forces of light and the hierarchy, because at this point there is an ancient battle going on, the forces of darkness and the forces of light, the forces of materialism. And you saw that, you see that in what happened with our monetary system.
Yes, what do you make of that, Risa?
Well, humanity has been entering form and matter for 18 million years.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity reached the deepest level of form and matter about 2,000 years ago, which is why the Christ came from Sirius to anchor love and light and will. But we have been in very deep and dark matter. And that's okay, because we're supposed to understand darkness and matter and redeem it, which means love it and bring it into the light. But there have always been people, beings, forces that are on the planet whose purpose is to enter deeper into materialism, deeper mm-hmm. into materialism, which eventually ends up with death.
They're devolving.
Right.
But that is their purpose, you're saying.
That is their purpose, the forces of materialism, that's their purpose. However, we were supposed to end this darkness 2,000 years ago and start moving towards the light, which we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move more towards the light, the forces of materialism frantically fight for their realm. And so that's what the battle is that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the greed and materialism that we see on the planet is part of their cunning maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something we need to know about that. Both forces of light and forces of darkness are very smart and very clever. And the battle is actually taking place in the mental plane.
Mm.
But the forces of light have love.
Mm-hmm.
And the forces of materialism and darkness do not. So therefore, what are we supposed to be doing? We have to work with love, because that's the thing they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a piece of esoteric information that only if you understood esotericism would you get that extraordinary piece of information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and two, if you're focused on love, you're not focused on the duality or the plane of polarity, right? You're rising above that, right?
You must be aware of both mm-hmm. and choose one side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily rising above it, it's standing on one side or the other
mm-hmm.
and making a conscious choice, because you can see and recognize what's happening.
Now, is this why a lot of, you know, in esoteric information, it is that separating the wheat from the chaff, there really is that choosing. There has to be that conscious choosing which direction you're going to go.
That's right. There has to be a choice, but you can only make choices after you have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we get back to knowledge. And that's why we have a school, because we teach all this basic information. We teach the laws of all the laws of radiation, the laws of magnetism, the laws of health. We teach all this information so that the mind is rebuilt, and the mind then becomes a vehicle for discrimination. And you can see, oh, I see what that is, and I can see what that is. Oh, I see they're on the personality building. Oh, I see they're on the soul level. Oh, I see that's part of the forces of materialism. So when you can see the two sides through knowledge, you choose
the highest.
You can't choose unless you know what you're looking at.
Right. But yeah, unless you know what's going on. Now, is this one of the reasons that there's so much emotional clearing right now, because of clearing the emotional body to get more to that mental realm?
Yes, the mental realm has to be entered now. Yes, that's exactly correct. Again, the Aquarian age is the age of knowledge. And the knowledge, I sent you the Constitution of Man, the Constitution, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I sent you an envelope. And so there's this, the mental plane sits above the emotional plane. And we move from physical, emotional, mental, higher mental, intuitive. So the mental plane sits above the emotional plane. It's like climbing a ladder. So those who are on the emotional plane are climbing into the mental plane.
Mm-hmm.
Those on the mental plane are climbing into the intuitive plane.
Mm.
So to be able to acclimate oneself in the Aquarian age, yes, there has to be knowledge and mental capacity.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ancient Mind is asking in the chat, maybe you can get clear, he's mentioning the Constitution of Man.
Right.
you want to touch on that, Risa?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, great.
And you don't have visual capacities, do you?
No, but they're going to have to go to your site.
Okay. Well, actually, we have that on the website. But I'll try to explain it to you.
Okay.
If you have your pencil and paper, you can draw it. But the Constitution of Man is like the geography of consciousness.
Mm.
And man, by the way, is a Sanskrit word for mind or one who thinks. So the Constitution of Mind or Man is a geography. It's a chart of seven different rectangles, one on top of the other. And within each rectangle are seven, by the way, each rectangle is called a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So and within each seven is seven subplanes. So those who are quick with math, we have 49 levels of consciousness. Seven major levels and 49 subplanes.
So it corresponds to the chakras, right?
It corresponds with the chakras. So the bottom first of the seven is the physical body. The second plane is the emotional. The third plane is the mental. The fourth plane is the buddhic or the intuitional. The soul, if you draw the seven planes within the seven subplanes within the third plane of the mind on the 1, 2, 3, 4, on the fifth subplane up, is a triangle, and that's where the soul resides.
Mm.
So for anybody who's drawing, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people drawing. Yeah.
Good. And so then you'll see the soul sits right in the center there. The soul tends to the lower mind, emotions, and the physical, and then the soul takes us way up into the intuitional, the atmic, the will of God, all the way up to the top.
Now the atmic, is that the atma, is that the level of the soul?
The atmic is above the intuition.
Oh, okay.
And the atmic is the will of, it's the spiritual will of God. When we do a meditation, we visualize, and I can do some of this visualization maybe at the end of the program.
Oh,
but the atmic will of God sends the will to good, a line of light, the will too good, down to the very top subplane of the mental, where the spiritual mind is. And the will to good is the father aspect, the creator aspect. When it reaches the higher mind, it turns into the mother aspect, which is goodwill.
Mm.
And then goodwill penetrates the mental, emotional, and physical, and then we radiate goodwill to humanity.
Mm. So you're needing the both anyway. There's that connection
yes,
there.
The will to
other,
good.
Father, yeah, the will to
absolutely.
Good. Absolutely. And then the goodwill.
So then you listen to what happens. The will to good, which is the father aspect, sends the line down to the mind, which then becomes the mother aspect, goodwill. We radiate goodwill out to humanity, and humanity becomes the soul or the Christ child or the child birth between the mother and the father. So we have the triangle, the father aspect, the mother aspect, and humanity becomes the child aspect, and they become conscious because of the light we radiate.
Mm.
This is advanced esotericism for anybody who might feel like this is too much. I just wanted everybody to know.
That's great. So you can see how those, and I think this is so important, is because we are, many of us have been living this way already, but it's radiating out more and more that these levels will be more known and more experienced, right?
You're right.
Right. We'll be able to see what influence is coming from what level or what dimension of being.
Right.
And again, to me, Risa, this goes back to choice again. You know, you'll have the choice by knowing what aspect am I coming from. Is this a lower
when
choice?
We have, you're right. When we have knowledge, we have more choices.
Yes. Yes, I like that. I'm going to put that in the chat. When we have knowledge, we have more choices.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's
something, you know, something else happens. Something else happens. I say all the time, creating contact releases love. And so when we teach within our school, we teach this material, and actually I write it on my website. Every week is actually a class on my website. When we make contact with this knowledge, you can feel the love being released in the bodies of the people receiving it.
Mm.
And it's the same thing as stepping outside and looking up to those stars, and you say, I know you, Big Dipper. I know that you're the seven rays. I know you're the seven rays, and I know that you send down all those seven rays. And I know, Pleiades, over there, that you send down the light that illumines my mind. And I know, Sirius, that's where love comes from. So it's like, hi, my name is Risa. Your name is Sirius. I love you. So there's this love that is released between even the stars and the person. When we know who we are, we know that's Sirius. I'm Risa. Hi. It's like going next door with a plate of cookies and saying, I'm your neighbor. And if things are good, then love is released between the two.
You know, when you're speaking these words, it's reminding me as a child. Many of us lived like that and spoke to the sun, the moon, you know, felt the presence, right, of the plant, felt the radiating light of that subtle energy. And somewhere along the line, you know, this got, you know, diminished. But in a sense, why would we not think, you know, it's kind of common sense, that everything and everyone that's sentient is communicating at all times to us, is aware.
Yeah, that's true. Everything is always communicating with us. But, you know, something we need to understand, that we had to forget.
Okay.
So that we could completely immerse ourselves in matter and understand matter all by itself. And then we grow up from children or through our many lifetimes, and one day we've learned about matter. We've built that personality. We have a strong vehicle here. Now we remember again. We go back to the original knowing.
Mm. You know, one of my teachers, metaphysical teachers, Dr. Hahn, he used to say we devolved into matter to find out what mattered to us, which, of course, is the personality.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, yeah. That's nice, yeah.
So when you were saying that, I thought it gave me a clearer picture, Risa, when you were saying that. Because I was, you know, people always ask, well, why did we have to forget?
Uh-huh. When we come into matter, we forget our spiritual origins so that we are completely within matter. And that's why we don't remember our past lives. Mm. We would be devastated if we knew what we did in our past lives. Mm. And also, it would keep us back there instead of here in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And the devastation that I'm speaking of is that in our many thousands of lives, we have to be everything from the killer and the abuser to the saint. And so we're in our present lives, and those past lives are not necessarily available to us because this is the work we're doing right this moment. One of the things that you'll hear in my language, in my speaking, is that there's no judgment about anything. There's a reason behind everything. And one of the things that Tibetan says that love is what underlies everything, the happenings of the times, love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that we need to seek. What is the love behind this law? What is the love behind this event?
Is that that's a good question to ask. When we're in a situation, you're saying, to ask, what is the love behind this?
That's right.
That is, boy, Risa, the vibrational frequency, I don't know if anyone else in the chat, my computer, my screen, is so radiating. The balls of my feet, the bottom of my feet, are tingling, and so is my crown chakra.
You're a sensitive person, huh? You're sensitive to these energies.
Oh, yeah, and just as you're speaking more and more, I mean, it's literally been coming, I could almost see it off of the computer screen. Wonderful. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, Risa. I just had to put that in there, sneak that in there.
It's because of you, Michelle.
Oh, I really appreciate it. And everyone in the chat is also, and I know, listening online. I mean, they're just, everyone is buzzing, and Tammy's saying it's awesome, and Reiki's feeling it in the hand. And this is such a wonderful treat you're giving all of us by sharing.
I'm grateful to be able to do this, Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, a teacher needs to have somebody listen to them.
Yes. And we are waiting. Yeah, we are here. We are so open and listening. Let's see. Now, Kathy is saying in the chat, many here lately have found it helps them to know the past or past life as to not repeat it. You have any thought to that? I can answer that also, but what do you think of that?
We might have a difference of opinion.
Okay, cool.
We must repeat our past, whether we know it or not, until we complete it and until it's brought into a loving closure.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think about, I needed to find out my past lives so I could figure out who I am, where I'm going. But I realized after a while that that only kept me in my past lives. That what we're doing right now, when we die, all of our life's experiences are placed in what is called something atom. I don't remember the word for it. Mental atom or something. And when we're reborn again, we just simply take up exactly where we left off before.
Mm-hmm.
So our inner self remembers what we've done,
mm-hmm.
but we don't mentally have to remember what we've done. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it keeps people in the past. Mm-hmm. And I say this as a therapist, counselor,
yep.
and astrologer. So we might have a difference of opinion, and that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, not really, I'll tell you, because I did and have done a lot of past life regression, and I got to a point where I would only do it as it related to what was going on in the present moment, like a behavior pattern or, you know, a mental construct or a mental pattern. And I agree with you. What I found is if there's a completion, like you said, that's the key. Because and that's also, Risa, I don't know what you feel about this. I think why we're just now getting to the soul in this, you know, time frame or in this Aquarian age is because the soul connotates some form of limitation. You know, even though we're co-creators, we do come in with a pattern and a way of being or expressing or a mission, if you will, and that's also denoted by what we've experienced in our past lives. So sometimes I think people want to, you can't, and I see what you're saying, because you can't mentally not repeat the pattern if you haven't really completed the pattern.
We will repeat on another level of reality. We will repeat until we learn the lesson.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that. Whether it's acting out this dimension or not.
I'm going to say something else about past lives.
Okay.
I don't believe half of what I hear of people saying they have these past lives. There's no way a person knows whether that's their life or not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if that, where is this information coming from? And so in my counseling and therapy practice and astrology practice, past lives, they're not allowed in our school because we don't know if it's real. And what can happen is a great amount of delusion and glamour can come out of it because we don't know what's real. Nobody knows what's real. And so that's just eliminated in our schools. You're in the present. Now, something that we can see in our charts is the South Node. And that can give us a hint about the gifts from previous lives that we're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
In this life, to use as stepping stones to do the work in this lifetime. That's as close as we come to past lives.
But you're bringing it to the present anyway.
Right. Yeah. And we don't. But we don't say you were this or you were that. We don't say anything like that. Because in many cases, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't verify.
Well, no, I agree. I stopped doing it. Number one, because it could be a multidimensional experience, or it could be a reconfiguring of what I found. Usually it's a reconfiguring of what somebody has had happen in their present time and even in childhood. So to me, if I have found if people are overly focused in that, usually their present time life is not doing very well, and it pulls the focus off of them handling the issues in the present because there's always a reason.
And I want to add to the person who said about the past lives about mistakes, there are no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mistakes whatsoever. We redo until we've learned something. There's no mistakes. There's no failures.
Let's look at this, too, because we have another question in the chat, Risa, about that maybe as we become more aware of our behaviors, then we will be able to change the past. I want to go back to this completion because I really also as a therapist believe, and I've seen it not only in myself but in people I work with, we can't change our pattern by the mental realm.
So, we don't change anything. The transits come in and change us.
So there's a transmutation of the energy. It happens at an energetic level, but if you're not ready to, right, on an energetic level, it won't shift. Could you speak to that a little bit?
What I say in our classes is we are constantly in a state of change based upon the transits, which means when one of the planets in the sky hits by mathematical sameness, one of our natal planets, we go into a state of change. Whether we're ready or not, we think, we're still going to change. And the only thing that brings change about is the transits. So we're talking about almost like apples and oranges here.
Okay.
So it's not even whether we're ready or not. That clock of our chart is a clock. That clock says it's time for this change to occur. Here's the planet. It's telling you it's going to bring the change about. You're going to suffer, and change is happening. End of subject.
Yeah. So you would look at it astrologically through the transits, because some people are asking about. Now, one thing Kathy is saying, if there are no mistakes, why redo?
Why what?
Why redo something?
Just because we're redoing something doesn't mean there's a mistake. Redoing something means we go deeper into the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me.
We go deeper into it.
And now Ms. Fuller is asking, how do you know when there's something's been complete? How do you know when there's a completion?
There's no more energy around it.
Yeah, no more charge.
Right, no more energy, no more desire, no more, and it's just you're neutral.
Yeah. See, yeah. No more in it. Yeah. Neutral. That's it. Well, and see, Patty D is saying, this is good. I love this because this is the root awakening. We are co-creators, but you have a soul. Who wants the control is the ego personality. Patty is saying, then are you saying we have no control of ourselves?
The more knowledge we have, the more choice we have, the more control we have. But sad to say, we don't have much control. We don't have much free will until we are knowledgeable enough to know and recognize what's going on around us and to make choices.
Yeah.
It's called being conscious.
Yeah, the more conscious you are. But I think one thing that helped me on my path when I really awakened to this little kernel of reality, and this to me flies in the face of books like The Secret and all these, you know, Tony Robbins, rah, rah, rah. It's not a popular sentiment. However, it's a common sense one, is that everyone comes in with a certain imprinting, a certain puzzle piece, a certain path, a certain mission, a certain encoding. You have to find what that is.
We discover it.
So,
and that imprinting, that mission, that task is all in the astrology chart.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to read it. So once you know what your imprinting is, once you know what your mission is, once you know and you actualize that, to me it's coming from self-realization. Once you realize the truth of who you are, how you came here, you know, what your essence on a soul level, then you can actualize that. And that's where your abundance comes in. That's where your fulfilled living comes in. But it may be different than what the personality ego had in mind.
Let me say it in another way.
Okay.
Let me try to bring this down. The only way we become abundant is through serving others. So, we're born into a lifetime. We've had thousands of previous lifetimes. We're at this particular lifetime. It's time for us to, the soul is saying, you're ready now to do this path, new path. We're going to have new values, new laws, new principles, and now it's time to serve.
Mm.
The only abundance there is when one serves. When one gives, one is given more than one gives, so one can continue to give.
Mm.
So that's the true level of abundance. And the path of the soul is service to others.
Yes. Now, Miss Fuller is asking the chat that she's going through several heavy transits now. So how does she know if she's getting the lesson to be learned?
You get, because of the suffering you go through.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain
there's no question. Yeah, there's no question. It's based upon the depth of one's ability to absorb the energy of that planet. And so the transits come along and the transits shift and prod and release and dissolve certain things within the person's life. And the suffering one goes through is the exact amount that one needs at that point in time.
Mm. Is it possible?
So you hear how I'm speaking backwards to what our usual language tries to... We are at all times in a perfect state of development. That's a very huge statement.
Yes.
But we are receiving exactly what we need to the depths of what we need, and we couldn't take any more.
Yes.
So there's no not going through our transits. Do you see what I mean?
Yes. And then Patty is saying, through knowledge only, I believe we cannot become whole. I believe unless we become wise and aware of ourselves, then we become whole. Well, that's self-knowledge. Right?
What is Patty trying to say?
I'm not sure. Patty, could you write it another way? Because you are being... And Dennis is asking, what's your take on self-realization? Or self-realization?
What does self-realization mean?
What do you mean by self? Which self?
Well, see, people use a lot of language that we have. They're like little languages in the culture.
Yes.
But we don't really we don't really know what that means. Like, I don't let anybody use karma in our class because we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And so what does self-realization mean? So I would say to the person, tell me what you mean by self-realization, then we can have a discussion.
Okay, so I'm putting that. So what do you mean by self-realization, I guess, Dennis, if you put that and then, you know, I agree, because, and the language you'll see is changing now over the years. It has to, because
to reflect the new consciousness.
Yes. So we have words that don't mean anything, or they've become empty. It's like that saying that too much form, you know, that if there's not that connection to spirit, the form or the language becomes empty. It's empty ritual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I agree. You have to know exactly what their interpretation of something is to actually get right at, you know, the question. Because I know
right.
We're even saying knowledge. Well, to me, becoming wise and aware of ourselves, that is true knowledge. So if you
that true knowledge is an outcome of the gathering of the knowledge that we need to. Have to remake our minds. Most people don't have much knowledge, really. Mm-hmm. And we need a lot of new knowledge. And then the wisdom comes forth out of that. It's like in astrology, Pallas Athena comes out of the head of Jupiter. Now, what does that mean? Jupiter is the mental plane and all the knowledge that Jupiter gathers in Sagittarius. And when there's all this knowledge gathered and pulsating in the mind of a person, then the door bursts open into the intuition, which is Pallas Athena.
Mm-hmm. Now let me see.
And that's where wisdom is.
Whereas, okay, Patty. Now see, this is one thing, and I had comes from within the soul. I had some really good metaphysical teachers. I had to look up words, so I got in the habit of that.
Mm-hmm.
See, right now in the chat, someone is saying that knowledge comes from the brain. Patty's saying it comes from the brain. Awareness,
no,
but it doesn't.
That's just information.
And if you go to the dictionary right now, which I just did, a knowledge is also required through experience. So true knowledge. That's why on the archway of the metaphysical esoteric school in Delphi, said
just know thyself.
Yeah, it wasn't book knowledge. It was by life experience, and from the soul's experience. So this is why it's so true. We have to work through the language. We have
right.
to. You have
define
to,
it.
Yeah, you have to start getting into etymology. I mean, if you really want
right.
to be a true esotericist and metaphysician, because our words have been diluted or changed around on a colloquial or a societal or cultural level. So we're talking about the knowledge that comes from the soul, from your experience, and as Risa was saying, really going deep within those changes, those transits. And that's true knowledge. It comes from experience. Some of it comes from, you know, facts, you know, something you learn from someone, but it's really that awareness or familiarity gained by experience or of a situation. I'm looking at the dictionary right now.
Yes. Well, in the Constitution of Man, there's the 7 levels on the mental plane, and the first 4 levels are lower mind, which is information, and just daily life experience. And then the 5th level is the soul. And the soul has gathered tremendous amounts of information. And then the upper 2 are the abstract mind, where you have this abstract information. So the knowledge is from the soul onward. Underneath that is basically experiential information.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, that's why we have this constitution of mind here, because then we know the geography and we can use our language with this map.
Yeah, and we have to, and that language is being updated, right?
Right.
We're
right.
in the process of all of us doing it right now by getting clear. You know, I didn't like having to look up stuff. I thought, oh, it means this or it means that, or why can't you tell me what it means? But now, boy, I hear something, and I, you know, even in chats or other, I right away, I go to my few dictionaries, I look at the etymology, and then I know what the real meaning or word is. Because it can kind of trip us up or get us in a little cul-de-sac.
In our school, whenever there's a word that we don't understand, we always look it up. And we have someone in our school who loves to do that. She has tons of dictionaries. And one of the things that I had hoped at some point is that our school would eventually become a college. And so we would have, of course, a specific department in there for understanding the new language. So you're right. We have to look up our words now and see what we're speaking about.
Yeah.
And agree. We have to agree. Catherine Austin Fitz at Solari.com, talking about financial permaculture, she asked her people on her blog, is there life after after capitalism? And I realized, well, I need to know what capitalism means. So yeah. I had to go to the dictionary.
Yeah.
I was going to put that on the website tomorrow.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's true, because we take for granted a lot of these words and these terms. And unless we get to the real meaning and then apply them, it puts us in a cul-de-sac. We're in a little, you know, at least that's happened to me in the past. And then it gets very clear when I go, wow, this is really the meaning. You know, this is
and
really.
And it's the foundation of being able to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we all agree on the definition, then we can go forward.
Okay, so, and I was going to ask, oh, because we had the ancient asked about the rays of light. Do we have time to touch on that?
The seven rays from the Big Dipper?
Yes.
Yes, that's exciting. Esoteric astrology basically works with the understanding that every single thing in our life is influenced by the seven rays and the Big Dipper. And so that's when I first learned this material and knew that these seven rays pour down. They pour down through the constellations, through the sun and pick up love wisdom, pour down through the planets, and then they enter into our bodies and all the kingdoms and the earth. When I would go outside, and I still do it in the nighttime, I go outside and I find the Big Dipper when it's in the sky and I say, hi, it's Risa. I just want to say I love you and thank you. And when we do our meditations, we collect within our ashram, the chalice of our group, the seven rays from the Big Dipper, because later when we say the great invocation, we distribute those rays to humanity. So the seven rays influence every single thing we do on our planet, and it's a very high vibration of spiritual purpose. So, for instance, just to give an example, ray one is power, government, creativity, destruction, the father principle. Capricorn is the planet of governments and civilization. Ray one pours through Capricorn. So when we see people who are in government, we often do their charts and we'll find the ray one quality and the Capricorn quality. So then we understand their greater significance based on the rays.
Mm.
So that's just an example. I don't know if there's more I should go into. Ray one is power, creativity. Ray two is love, wisdom. Mm-hmm. Ray three is divine intelligence. These three rays are the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Father, Child, and Mother. And then Ray four is harmony through conflict. Ray five is the scientific knowledge needed for the Aquarian age. Ray six is the Piscean age, the faith and love, hope, vision. And ray seven is the synthesis of all of them and the creation of the new culture and civilization.
Mm.
So you can hear the new language in here.
Yeah, you
new
can
language.
Already. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Patty is saying she's asking questions, thinks she's going crazy asking, but it's so good.
That's good.
Yes, isn't it? Yeah. So, and Ray, do you want to touch on all seven? Not go into deeply?
Me?
Yeah, please.
I don't know how I would do that. All I could really do is say Ray one is what I did. How would I do that?
That's good. Let's see if that answers the question for Ancient on touching on the rays.
Maybe we could ask him what he wanted to know.
Okay. So what did you want to know? That's another thing. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in at 347-539-5122. That's 539-5122. 322, area code 347. There's somebody on the line. I'm going to check in with them recently, see if they're maybe
okay.
They may have a question, or they may be just calling in to listen. Hi, 760-470.
Hi, Michelle.
You're on Awaken. Hi.
It's Jen.
Oh, hey, Jen. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Right. My palms are sweating. I'm so excited that Risa's on your show.
Oh, great. Risa, Jen, meet Jen.
Hello, Jen. Hi. Thank you so much.
You've been a teacher of mine for many years, and I'm really excited to talk to you. And I wanted to call in because sometimes the show gets stopped and started again, so I didn't want to miss any of it.
Right.
Are you talking about the first time we were going to do it and I was lost in the wilds of Tennessee and we had to cancel?
I participated in that show too, and I was talking about last week with Dawn, when Michelle had Dawn on. That was a really great show too, but I was having some problems with my internet connection.
Okay, yeah. Inside Out author Risa, he had I read on Wednesday that had been in prison and had an amazing awakening and wrote a book about this. So Don Childers, so we had him on Wednesday.
I heard about him.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Jen, do you have any question or comment about what we've been talking about?
Yeah, well, I wanted to thank Risa for all the information. She's been a teacher of mine, like I said, for a long time. And she did clear some things up on past life, and something that I've been kind of going through in the last few months. And she really cleared that up for me earlier in the show. But a few months ago, she's been talking about, like, Christ returning to Earth and ancient Hebrews reincarnating now at this time. And I just wanted to know if she wanted to kind of touch on that, or she wanted to talk about maybe what capacity Christ would be returning to Earth. Is that a consciousness, or?
Michelle,
mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me what Jen asked, because I couldn't hear it very well?
She said that she had been reading about the coming of Christ on your website, and what that entailed, or the preparation of that, and if you wanted to touch on that. Is that
what you wanted to know, Jen?
I wanted to see and ask you, in what way do you think that, because I think that there's like a new healing energy, I don't know, on the planet right now.
Say that again. What kind of?
I just kind of feel that there's like a new healing that's available on Earth. Maybe a little
how
bit.
Are you experiencing? How are you experiencing that, Jen?
I received a healing about 4 or 5 months ago, and I used the technique, or I just kind of mimicked what somebody had done to me on another person, and once I did that, I kind of felt myself in an expanded kind of, I don't know, I can't, it's not anything I can really describe, but I feel like I tapped into this healing thing that was really easy, which means that it's like kind of on the planet and available to everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about on your website about like Christ returning to Earth, and do you think that that's the form that it's taking and a new, you know, healing vibration? Do you think that?
Well,
that
you know,
Christ...
Risa, what she speaks about, I've been hearing this also with other listeners, participants, clients of mine, that all of a sudden they realize that they have healing abilities right now. And it,
mm-hmm.
it seems to have just overnight, you know, more light, more energy coming from them, you know, more subtle energy, more heat. I believe that's what she's speaking of. And I have been seeing that also as well. So
let me respond to the many different levels.
Okay.
The Christ is returning. And why this is important is this. At each new age, we have a new teacher. But in this case, the Piscean teacher will also be the Aquarian teacher. The Christ is a job description. It's the Christ is a job description. It's and different masters or teachers assume that. And the being from Sirius became the Christ 2,000 years ago because an anchoring of love had to occur on the planet because the planet was completely surrounded by distortion and darkness. And the door was closed to move back to spirit. And there needed to be an anchoring of light and love and will. And the Syrian being became the Christ, took on that position at 2,000 years ago. In 1945, he informed his disciples that he was going to again assume the world teacher position, the Christ position for the Aquarian Age, because he said that when he came 2,000 years ago, humanity wasn't quite prepared to receive the new law, which was the law of love, and to understand the will that was anchored, the will of God that was anchored. So that was a huge decision made in 1945. And when he did say he was going to return, he gave his disciples the Great Invocation. The Great Invocation is how we're going to end today. We're going to say the Great Invocation, which is in the Atlantean times, we were given the Our Father. And now in the Aquarian times, we were given the next part of that prayer called the Great Invocation. The Christ will return, and there are preparations being made, will return when a certain level of humanity is soul-oriented.
Yeah.
Because the vibration on the planet is too harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can imagine a being from Sirius coming down, it's too harsh.
Yeah, and Sirius is about service, right? The dog
Sirius is Sirius is where love originates. And service to humanity comes out of that love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last time he was here, he assumed the body of Jesus, who was a master in training. And he was only in that body for 3 years because that's all he could do, and also three is a special number. This time, we don't know how he's going to return. We don't know in what culture he'll return. We don't know when. We do know that that only after a certain level of humanity has achieved the soul consciousness will he be able to return consciously. Now, one of his, of course, ministries is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the humanity has to become healed on many levels for the Christ to return. So that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, Ray 3, the knowledge of healing, Ray 3, so people are taking up more and more healing. So, yes, that is correct. Now I'm going to give you another piece of information. In the morning time, 7:30 Western Pacific Coast, 9:30 Midwest, 10:30 East Coast, there's a conference call across the country. We place a triangle of light around the United States and then over the entire world. We see the Christ standing in the middle of the United States within a triangle. We go to the ashram with him on the top of a mountain, and we begin to do healing work for humanity to stabilize it during this time of transition, to educate it, to bring light to it, so that the Christ can return. And we have been doing this now for months, and we will continue to do it until we die. So I wanted you to be aware that there are, across this country and others around the world, connecting with a healing meditation that begins every morning.
At 7:30 Pacific.
7:30 Pacific Coast, yeah, time. So you can connect in with it at any time.
So much of this happening right now is there's more consciousness. And, of course, you hear there's different ways to look at it, you know, that tipping point, the critical mass, morphogenic field,
right.
The resonant field. You know, we're infusing this resonant field with this consciousness, with this new awareness.
That's correct.
Right? And then as it gets to a certain level, then these newer energies are able to come in.
Yes, that's right.
Right? Is that right?
They can come in. Uh-huh. It's like when we have a certain amount of light emanating from our bodies, especially from our Ajna center, we will be able to see the Devic or fairy kingdom that are the builders that are building, which is the whole foundation of Findhorn. The builders who build the plant kingdom, who build the soil, when we have a certain amount of light, then we will be able to see them. And so when we have a certain amount of light placed on this planet through us, then the other beings can come.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, we have 10 minutes left. Is that right?
Yeah, 9 minutes. Did you want to do
I that? Wanted to end with some mantras.
Okay.
And I thought people could they could be in the mantra or they could write the words down, because there's a lot of language here that is quite beautiful and very different. And so I thought we could do that together.
Oh,
boy, the time went really fast.
It did, I know. You got to come back.
I will come back. It's
come
wonderful.
Back. It's a great group of gathering here. Jen, I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great to connect.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions that anybody
Let's
wanted to
ask? That. I'm going to ask before we any more questions in the chat. And people, again, you can call in 347-539-5122.
And if
5122.
Go ahead. Maybe if there aren't any questions, maybe people can say how this was for them.
Okay. Well, so far people have been saying it's great.
Good.
Because what we're going to do, we're going to wind out. We're going to do some mantras and another. Yes, please have your host back. You mean the guest. Okay, Patty, we'll.
We'll have you back, Michelle.
You'll have me back. Mother, may I please come back? I have to earn my right to come back. Yes, definitely we'll have Risa back, because people are asking. Yes, please come back. Amazing from Reiki. Sylvia is saying, please come back. Yeah, definitely will do. Yeah, because, so... Both can come back. Good. I can come back. And Patty's laughing. But sorry. No. This is fun. I like to keep it fun here.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some mantras and invocation. And then perhaps, depending if time is there, I'll just end with some music and you can hold your space. Tammy has said she's so beside herself. This is a dream come true for her. Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Risa. Well, you created this dream. This is about as much control as you have, so enjoy it. This is the co-creation, okay? So this is your co-creation.
Everybody was part of it, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
This was wonderful, Michelle. I do want to tell you how wonderful and grateful I am to have done this, and I'd love to do it anytime.
Oh, yes. Yay.
So shall we begin our little mantras here?
Absolutely.
I want to tell everybody, if we can visualize walking up a mountain and walking through a gate and standing in a beautiful garden and looking around and seeing that as far as we can see, there is this construction and building going on for the new culture and civilization. And all the things humanity needs in this new culture and civilization are being prepared in this new community, and it's a template and prototype.
Mm.
And so we're going to see that the soil is being built and everything's being planted in homes and schools for children and teens and colleges are being built, and it will be a new village. We're going to go through this double doors, and there we see a Sagittarius illumined, because Sagittarius is pouring down now. And we walk up 12 steps and we stand in this triangle of light, and this triangle of light purifies us. And we go up the next set of 12 steps. A bumblebee just came into my center. We go up the next set of 12 steps and we enter this upper room, and there's all the great teachers there, and we greet them. And now we come to the center. Let's all come to the center within this great room. It's a very beautiful, beautiful room. It's the ashram. And we're going to be saying some mantras together.
Okay.
This first mantra is called the mantra of life and love. We know, O Lord, of life and love about the need. Touch our hearts anew with love, that we too may love and give. And this mantra is called the integration mantra. We place a cross of intention upon the earth, and we will say this integration mantra for everyone we love and for all of humanity, and we'll say it for humanity till humanity can say it for itself. I am one with my group, brothers and sisters, and all that I have is theirs. May the love which is in my soul pour forth to them. May the strength which is in me lift and aid them. May the thoughts which my soul creates reach and encourage them. And then we're going to do the mantra of unification and then the great invocation. Then we'll stop.
Okay.
The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. And we remember the word men is the Sanskrit word for mind. And now the great invocation, which is the Christ's own mantra, and we say this every morning and evening. And we say this seeing a pathway of light from the ashram down into the humanity, into the hearts and minds of humanity, and into the kingdoms. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. And so it is. And so let it be, and help us to do our part. And so let it be, and help us to do our part. And so let it be, and help us to do our part. And then we'll end with an om within the ashram.
Beautiful.
That bell was perfect. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Lisa DeAngelis. Welcome to the nightlightnews.com. You can reach Risa there for more information.
Michelle, should I give them my email address?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
What is it?
Risa@lrec.org.
lrec.org.
Right. Risa@lrec.org.
Perfect. All right, all. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in, connecting in to this converging flow. That is all of you and your amazing consciousness and awareness.
And I want to say thank you to everyone, too. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Lisa. And thanks for sharing your path, your insight, your wisdom, and your understanding. And as always, if you can also listen to the archives of the show. If you'd like to subscribe to Awakenings, you can via iTunes or the RSS feed. If you want to not miss an episode, and pass it on, pass the Awakening flow. And until next time, all of you, shine your light and keep awake.
Bye-bye, Michelle. Goodbye, everybody. I love you.
Lots of love and light. Blessings.
Hanging up now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Shine your light and keep awake. This is Happiness by DJ Petey from Moontribe.com. You can subscribe to Awakening via RSS feed or iTunes. Go to Awakening with Michelle Shane. iTunes. Peace and blessings. Until next time.